All right, good evening. Allow me to ask you, please, at this time to quiet your hearts and to find your seats as we're going to begin in just a couple of moments. This time, please listen and enjoy the prelude. And then after that is over, we are going to stand and sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing as the choir enters. We're very glad that you're here tonight. God bless you. Please listen now to the prelude. Take your hymnals and turn to hymn number 238 and let's sing together, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Oh,
Our gracious God and our eternal loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this occasion. We thank you for the incarnation, the fact that you in love sent your Son from heaven to earth to live in our place and to die in our place, to be raised again for our justification so that we might be made right with you. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son. And thank you, Lord, also for the gift of music whereby we might express our love to you and the joy that you have placed in our hearts. Lord, tonight as we listen to these songs, as we sing your praises, may your Spirit rule and reign in every heart. Lord, may you preside over this service tonight. We commit it into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. My name is Ed Moore. I'm one of the pastors here at North Shore Baptist Church. I see that we have many guests that are with us tonight, and we welcome you. Each and every one of you is our honored guest. But for those of you that are not guests at this church, you know that we have a little bit of a Christmas tradition here, and that is that each year I will make for you some new Christmas jokes. And this year I have prepared three for your listening pleasure. First of all, I have a friend. He had a skin disease. He had a problem with his skin. And so much so that he couldn't work to buy Christmas presents for his family. And so he started a Ponzi scheme. And now he's known as the Leper Con. That's better than most years. Thank you. You know, my wife Anna asked me, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, it really doesn't matter as long as it has something to do with me and my Second Amendment rights. And so she purchased me a tank top. And I said, what is this? And she said, now you have the right to bear arms. Yeah, all right. This is better than it ever has been. All right. And the third joke that I've made up for you this year is Santa Claus walks into a diner and orders Eggs Benedict. The waiter brings it out on a hubcap. Santa Claus says, what's this? And the waiter says, there's no place like Chrome for the Hollandaise. I love you. I do. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, my portion of the evening is over. Enjoy now the Christmas song.
Lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. evening. My name is Mike. I'm one of the other pastors of North Shore. I don't have any jokes for you, but I would like you to real quickly turn to your bulletins here, your programs, and just to see, there are a few times where you will see an asterisk next to the song. And during those times, we would like you to stand and turn to those songs in those hymnals. The number of the hymnals are right after it in the parentheses, and you'll turn to it and you'll join the choir in singing these very songs. Well, let me begin our night by asking you a question. What are we celebrating when we celebrate Christmas? So as a child, Christmas celebrations were synonymous with family gatherings, delicious meals, and lots of gifts. For some people, it's about singing Christmas songs, like the one we just sang about chestnuts roasting on an open fire. But what should we be celebrating when we celebrate Christmas? Well, what we want to do today is to show you that Christmas is a celebration of a gift. It's a celebration of God's gift of His Son. It's about God entering into human history in the person of Jesus Christ. So tonight, through these songs and through the very words of Scripture, we want to show you what Christmas is really about. We want to show you that Christmas is about Christ. Christmas is about Jesus Christ. So let me start with the very words of Scripture, and let me start at the beginning. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God created the world. He also created Adam and Eve. He placed them in the Garden of Eden, and He told them to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, if you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Now, as most of you know, the serpent tempted Eve to eat from that tree, and so she did. And Adam did as well. And our scripture reading from Genesis 3 tells us what happened next. Reading from Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 19. This is God's word. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman, he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain, you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam, he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." This is the word of the Lord. Now remember, God said that when they ate of it, they would surely die. And so we see that as a result of their sin, death came into the world. They had now become dead in their transgressions and sins. And that deadness meant that one day they would die physically, but even worse than that, they were already dead spiritually, alienated from the life of God. An eternal death, destined for an eternity of God's wrath. But notice what God said in Genesis 3:15. He spoke of an offspring who would one day crush the serpent's head. And this one offspring would save us from our sins. And many years later, that first Christmas night in a manger in Bethlehem, he was born. His name is Jesus. So let us listen as a choir sings their first hymn, Gloria in Excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest.
Shepherd.
the next part of our story brings us forward a few thousand years. So fast forward a few thousand years, God had chosen a people for himself, the Israelites. He saved them out of slavery to the Egyptians, and he even gave them his law. But the problem of sin did not go away. They were still dead in their sins. We know this because they disobeyed God's law and they began to worship idols. And so God warned them that judgment was coming. And he did this through prophets like Isaiah. But as we see in our next reading, even in the midst of judgment, Isaiah reminds them of their future hope. Their future hope of a child who would one day save them from the judgment they deserved. So listen as I read from Isaiah 9 verse 2, Isaiah 9 verses 6 and 7, and Isaiah chapter 11 verses 1 through 11. And if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, you may do so. First, Isaiah 9 verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now Isaiah 11 verses 1 through 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In that day, the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. Once again, this is the word of the Lord. So Isaiah shines more light on who this promised offspring would be. He says a lot of things, but one of the things that he says is that this child would be from the lineage of Jesse, and he would sit on the throne of David. He would be a Davidic king. And his kingdom would be one in which there is peace and righteousness and justice. Now, who could this child be? Well, the only one who could be all of these things would be the one who is truly God and truly man, truly divine and yet truly human, one who would be perfectly righteous and without sin. Friends, Isaiah is prophesizing about Christ. So let us worship him now, lest we listen to the choir sing, "Angels We Have Heard on High." Thank you. Now, the next part of our story comes from the Gospel of Luke. The prophet Isaiah has long been dead and gone, and Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us about how the Savior came into the world. And his story begins in the town of Nazareth, where there was a young Jewish man named Joseph. Now, Joseph was to be married to a young woman named Mary. And one day, an angel appeared to Mary and told her something that would change her life forever. And in fact, what he told her would change the course of human history altogether. Listen as I read from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, 26-38, and then Luke 2, 1-16. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So let me briefly pause right there. So the angel told Mary that she is going to conceive a child. But this conception would be no ordinary conception. This was a supernatural conception, a conception brought about by God. And this child was no ordinary baby. He was the Son of the Most High, who would sit on the throne of David. In other words, he was a baby sent from heaven, a baby who would live a life of complete perfection, a baby who would be king, and his kingdom would have no end. And then reading from Luke 2, 1 through 16. Luke 2, 1 through 16. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' This, again, is the word of the Lord." So Mary and Joseph went away to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was a small town about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Now, the history of the town of Bethlehem is not very well known. Aside from the fact that it was where King David was born, there was nothing really special about Bethlehem. But while in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to give birth. And she gave birth to Jesus in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Now, the fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and in a manger tells you that the entrance of Jesus into this world was against the backdrop of humiliation. It speaks of the incomparable humiliation of the incarnation of Christ. Now, this humiliation is good news for us. It's good news because Jesus Christ took on flesh so that he might dwell with us and save us from our sins. So let us stand now and sing our next song together. I'd like you to turn in your hymnals to hymn number 218. Let's sing about God who has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's turn hymn number 218, O Come, Emmanuel.
Also one of the elders here at North Shore Baptist Church. My job this evening is to tell you why Christmas is more than just singing, gifts, and the story of a baby in a manger. And I'm going to try to do this by stitching together some of the themes that our Pastor Mike has been going through this evening. Because it is the beginning of the most beautiful and the most important story ever told. It's the story of God stepping into our world to rescue us. See, God created everything. Every star that lights the sky, every ocean that roars, he created you and he created me. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, and ever-present. He made us in his image to know him and to love him. But as we read in Genesis 3, we rebelled. Sin entered the world and corrupted everything. And this isn't just about the big sins or some mistakes. All of us have sinned. It's every rejection of God's holiness. And the penalty is death, physical death, and eternal damnation. Ezekiel 18 says, "The one who sins is the one who will die." This is why we die. No amount of good deeds, no amount of religious efforts can erase our sin or restore us to God. This means that humans are the problem, and therefore we cannot be the solution. But God didn't leave us in our hopelessness. 700 years before Jesus' birth, Isaiah foretold, "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This reveals two incredible truths. The first is that Jesus' birth will be like unlike any other. And the second is that he will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Or as we read earlier, he will be called Mighty God. Every other religion in the world will tell you that you need to work your way to God's graces or reach a certain level of perfection. But this tells us we don't work our way to God. Instead, the infinite, holy God comes to us. Only God could pay the infinite debt that we owed. If Jesus were just a good man or a perfect example, he would only save himself as a created being. But he is eternal God, stepping in to save man. And yet he was also fully human, because only man could represent us, the offenders. So Jesus, fully God and fully man, didn't come to just teach or inspire. He came to rescue us from the eternal hell that we could never escape on our own. Furthermore, Jesus did live perfectly. Every thought, word, action reflected the will of God. But he didn't only come to live, he also came to die. Psalm 22 says, "A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet." 1,000 years before Jesus was even born, the Bible foretold his death on the Roman cross, centuries before crucifixion was even invented. This should tell you that God controls the future, knows the future, and still chose to pursue us and to love us. On the cross, Jesus took the punishment we deserved. Isaiah 53 says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." He bore the wrath of God in our place. And on that cross, Jesus cried out, Psalm 22:1, which says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He was forsaken so that we would be forgiven. He died that we might live. He endured wrath for us and gave to us his record of righteousness so we would receive God's grace. But friends, we celebrate because Jesus didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose from the grave and he lives today. And his resurrection guarantees eternal life for all who believe in Jesus Christ. Because he lives, we can live. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, "For as in Adam, that is the first man, all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." Death no longer has the final word. Jesus is the door into eternal life with God for all who follow him. This means that this Christmas, you don't have to carry the weight of your sin. You don't have to live in fear of death. Jesus came to offer you forgiveness, hope, and life. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The world will disappoint you. You will disappoint others. But Jesus never disappoints us. And this is the heart of Christmas, that God didn't wait for you to fix yourself. He knew your sins. He knew your failures. And still Jesus came to rescue you. He lived, died, and rose again so that you could have salvation. This is the greatest gift you will ever receive. This is why Christmas matters. We do not just remember a baby in a manger. We remember Christ, who chose to enter this world in the most vulnerable form of a human and take on the wrath of God. We worship the risen King who reigns in heaven today. Jesus is not merely the example of our faith. He is the object of our faith. He is not the means or the agent of our salvation. He is our salvation. And this is why we sing tonight with joy. We are praising the risen, sovereign King of Kings, the one who conquered death and sits on the throne of heaven forever. And tonight I urge you, don't let this Christmas pass without responding to him. Believe in him. Trust him. Surrender your life to him. Because of Jesus, you can have hope. Because of Jesus, you can have life. Because of Jesus, you can face eternity knowing that death has been defeated. This is the glory of Christmas. This is the beauty of Christ. And this is the good news that we celebrate tonight.
Let's all stand together. Turn in your hymnals to hymn 231, O Come All Ye Faithful. Please be seated. Let's go straight into the last two readings from Matthew 2, 1 through 12, and John 1, 1 through 14, as the Bible testifies of Christ our God. Starting in Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now reading from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So what we celebrate at Christmas is not so much, as Pastor Brian explained, the birth of a baby, as important as that is. But what we celebrate at Christmas is really the incarnation of God himself. The word incarnation means a coming in the flesh. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was and is God. And then at the end of this passage, he says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now this enfleshment is not so much a subtraction as it is addition. The eternal Son of God takes upon himself a human nature and joins his divine nature to that human nature for the sake of redemption. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. The Bible says he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That is the true meaning of Christmas. Christ took on flesh so that he could die for our sins. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the gospel that Pastor Brian presented as the choir sings their final two songs. And as they sing this next song, I want you to hear the gospel story. Hear the gospel story as they sing, O Holy Night, and let us join them as we sing Joy to the World. Thank you. Let's all stand for our last song. Turn your hymnals to hymn number 224, Joy to the World.
Be seated one more time. Thank you so much for coming out this evening. What a glorious evening it has been to worship the Lord, to sing his praises, to hear his word proclaimed, to hear his word read, and to be together in this very, very sweet fellowship. There are a few people that we need to thank for this. But first of all, the most thankless job in all the room goes to our sound man, Ray. Ray, thank you. Great job. Thank you. Good job. And I want to thank Gina, our pianist, who did a flawless job tonight. And glory to God. Let's thank our choir. What a job they've done tonight. But most of all, I want to thank our choir director, the most Christ-like person I know. Thank you, Jackie Amorelli, for leading our choir. Great job. Excellent job. Yes. Great job. Thank you. Let's stand together. Let's stand together and receive the Lord's benediction. You're visiting with us tonight. We're so happy that you came. Members, look around. If there's someone that you see that you do not know, make sure that you give them a warm greeting. Visitors, there is a card, a yellow card in the pew back in front of you. It has a QR code. Scan that. Give us your information. We'd love to stay in touch with you. We're here to serve you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please now receive the Lord's benediction. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amen. Amen. Amen.